There is a measurable spiritual change happening in young people across our land and even beyond. Is it possible that this is a true revival from God?
Let's see what the Bible says about that. Hey, welcome to the podcast. I'm glad you're here for this. If you're watching on YouTube, I'm going to ask you to go ahead and subscribe to our YouTube channel. We have podcasts that come out every Wednesday morning at 8 a.m. So I'm glad you're here for this one. It's going to be a great conversation.
Yeah, so Trent, you just get back from youth camp.
Yeah.
A week of being with young people.
Oh, yeah.
Day and night. Uh-huh. Of course, you're with them every week.
Yep.
In ministry as well, but there's something about being with them every day.
Yeah.
All day
different.
Long.
It is different.
That's different. So we're going to talk about what your experience was like at camp this week. God moved there. Mm-hmm. And we're going to look at that also in context of some things that are happening across our land today. There's some interesting stats coming in across the nation about a movement, a spiritual movement among what's known as the Gen Z.
Mm-hmm.
So some of the things we're seeing are college campuses are experiencing revival meetings where there's tens of thousands often at just one of them.
Yeah.
Many of these movements are student-led. Mm-hmm. They're not just organized by those who are trying to make money off the deal.
No.
We know that church attendance across the land is up for Gen Z, mm-hmm. especially over their predecessors, I guess, the millennials.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we should clarify for people who might not know, Gen Z are those born between 1998 and 2012.
Yeah.
So
I'm at the oldest of Gen Z.
Yeah.
I was born in 1999, so I'm an elder Gen Z.
Yeah, so anywhere from 13-year-olds all the way up to 25s, right in that group,
yep.
right there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's people in middle school, high school, and then a little bit of college,
mm-hmm.
as well.
Mm-hmm.
After them,
you graduated college.
Yeah, graduated college. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
After that is another group called Gen Alpha,
mm-hmm.
and so that's the younger.
Youngest.
That's the 12 and under,
mm-hmm.
which is an interesting demographic all by itself.
Mm-hmm.
But among this Gen Z, you're seeing growth even across our land in churches. They're recording higher attendance in youth groups these
yeah.
days. You're finding spiritual resources are being used by this age group more than their older counterpart, I guess you could say. Podcast, worship music,
mm-hmm.
Bible app downloads are up in number. And there's this hunger for genuine, authentic, spiritual experiences.
Yeah, reality.
Mm-hmm. Not just something that's polished, presentational, but something that they experience and is genuine. People are not a front. They're really honest and raw.
Mm-hmm.
So some things I've seen recently, however, is that this is not just an American thing. This has happened in the United Kingdom. And some of the things I'm seeing there, it looks like maybe the numbers are even higher.
Mm-hmm.
They're saying 13% of UK Gen Z identify as atheist, while 62% describe themselves as fairly or very spiritual.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Crazy.
Two-thirds would say I'm more in the fairly spiritual
mm-hmm.
camp. Church attendance has quadrupled for that age group
mm-hmm.
in the United Kingdom. And among 18 to 24-year-olds there, 69% said faith has had or is having a significant impact on their life. And 72% claim faith has a significant purpose or has affected their life purpose, given them a sense of purpose
that's
in
so
life.
Good.
So if you're seeing this happen nationally and you're seeing it happen around the world even, we know this is happening here in our young people as well. So
mm-hmm.
We're going to be asking Truett today more questions. I'm just going to ask some questions and Truett's going to talk more about what he's seeing, especially after a week at camp. So give everybody a little bit of context. Talk about camp. You take 6th through 12th grade. Describe
seventh.
The way... I'm sorry. 7th. 7th
yeah.
through 12th grade. Talk about the way camp happens,
mm-hmm.
just so everyone knows what the format is for us.
So we go Sunday to Thursday. It's 4 full days there. And we take... Again, 7th to 12th graders are like about the 13th, 7th to graduates, technically.
Right, right.
Those who have just graduated in May, we go at the end of July. And so what happens is you have all these people who, you know, some raised in church, some not raised in church, but our goal is to set aside all the distractions, the phones, the, toxic friend groups, and we say like, hey, here's all this list of don't bring all this, distractions, and don't bring the things that you use to like fill up all your mental space with, and let's come seeking the Lord here for this week of camp.
Wow. And you established that as ground rule from day one.
From the get-go, yeah. And another thing that I think is unique to the way we do camp is it's not... so like if you were to go to a large camp,
right?
Typically most of your rec team and your camp counselors and all that stuff are going to be around age 19, 20 to 25, you know, mm-hmm. maybe some 30-year-olds. But what we do is we have people that are all within the church from, you know, older to younger, full-time jobs, mostly. These are all people who are predominantly in their 30s and up. I think we had three or four that were in their 20s.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them are parents, you know, full-time employees.
Wow.
They have like full lives that they are doing things with, and they're mm-hmm. seeking the Lord. And so we choose them to come be leaders to these teens who are hungry for reality and not just someone who's just a little bit ahead of them.
Yeah.
But we want them to experience what is it like around someone. Like we have some incredible people that come and serve that are successful, you know, and that are, they've done stuff with their life.
Yeah.
And because that's what students want. That's what teens want these days.
And they're spiritual people.
Yes, exactly. It's not
professionals.
Yeah, exactly. But people who already are plugged in multiple different ministries mm-hmm. and serving in different areas within mm-hmm. our church.
Mm-hmm.
People that know me personally, like these are like my friends, you know, these people who I'm close with that come to camp. As leaders.
And it's a low ratio, student to leader ratio.
Very. Yeah. So we brought 65 teens this last year, and we brought 24 adults.
Wow.
So it's basically 3-1.
Yeah, exactly.
Three adults for everyone.
Or three teens for every one.
Kids. One
adult.
Wow. Yeah.
That's awesome.
So,
and they've got their phones put away throughout the day. They're interacting. They're discovering.
Yeah. It's very funny.
I can make it through life.
It's very funny to see like free time comes around and it's like some people go and sit on a bench and they're like, all right. They'll go and they'll start playing Uno with some people.
Wow.
The game Signs was played the whole time.
People,
whole time doing all sorts of signs, passing. It's just like, where you're interacting with other humans, you're laughing with other people, you're like having to learn how to interact with people over the course of multiple days and all this stuff. So it's like reality, it's actual reality. It's not just life behind a screen where you're texting people and you're sending dumb jokes to people all the time, or you're doom scrolling, as it's called. You're getting down weird algorithms where your brain is like just rotting basically into whatever the algorithm is trying to push on you, you know? And so, you are actually interacting with people. You are spending time worshiping. You're spending time under the word. You have a quiet time in the morning. You're doing all these things that are very intentional to get you in the mindset of who are you, God, and who have you created me to be?
Yeah,
you know, who do you want me to be?
Love it.
And so, you know, we have rec. We have all sorts of fun, goofy things for people to do.
Yeah.
But we also have very serious.
Yeah. Even those are intentional, though, the games.
Yeah, exactly. All geared towards getting other people around people you don't usually talk to. You know, I get to be the person that sets all the teams together. So I get to, knowing a lot of the stories, I try to, you know, hey, this person probably get along with this person well, and these girls need to be around these girls, and these guys around these guys, and these, you know, these leaders with these students, and their story is very similar. And so everything is very calculated in the way in which we're trying to cultivate growth in these students.
Nice. And you're going just as our church.
Yeah.
You're not going with four other churches or 24 other churches.
Yeah, exactly.
There are camps that do that, and you know,
that's
I've done that, and that can be great.
And you're able to reach a lot of people in that way.
Yep.
And you're able to have a lot of width, which I think is great. Something that's different in our camp is we go for a lot of depth through the week.
Right.
Not that we don't want width, but that we find if we take our people who already have confidence in our leaders, they will open up to a higher degree, and then we're able to also follow up. That's like the ultimate knock against church camp.
Yeah.
You go open up your life to someone you don't know. They'll never know you again. You might follow them on Instagram later, but you don't really get like a life connection, you know. But here on Sundays every week, hey, this leader, I'm able to follow up. Hey, how's your life? What's going on with your family?
Yeah.
Hey, how's your grandma? You know, how's your younger sibling doing? And you know, like able to follow up a whole lot more. And then those people come and serve weekly on Wednesdays. So it's like our goal is relationship connections beyond just a moment, you know, because that's like the knock against summer camps is, oh, it's just, you know, only good for a week, and the week after people are all excited, and they, you know, They think that they're all super spiritual, but it's all going to wash away. Those are the blackpilling people about summer camp, you know, who say it's a waste of time. But what we see is people genuinely draw near to God. Mm. God draws near to them. They learn how to resist the devil, mm-hmm. and their life genuinely changes.
Yeah,
and we see that happen over the course of that week. And so then with our leaders that we have with them, we say, hey, let's continue this, you know, and students encourage leaders, leaders encourage students. And it's an incredible thing to see growth happen at a exponential rate over the course of a week and then see the growth happen throughout the rest of the year.
Yeah. So it's a camp arrangement that's intentionally designed to help facilitate spiritual growth.
Yeah.
Obviously draw mm-hmm. close to God. But from what we're seeing, again, stats-wise, of course, in our nation, there's a generation that is responding to God differently than the ones before them. So I'm just curious, are you seeing something different in this group of young people?
Yeah.
Not a knock against any others, but everybody grows up in a time frame, in a certain set of experiences. And so what are you seeing that is different about this group of young people?
Yeah.
Not just ours, but that age today in America.
Yeah, in this time frame. Well, I mean, one thing, like we've said, like everything's online these days, and so nothing is really flesh and blood relations, you know. Mm. Some people, even schooling and education, all this stuff, is literally just with a computer. Mm. You know, it's not with a teacher in mm-hmm. person. Like for those who are homeschooling, it's like that. And then for people who, you know, spend 7 hours a day on their phone. That's like conservative stats is like a teen spends 6 hours a day on their phone. Wow. You know, that's a full-time job basically, you know, that these people are spending time just scrolling. And so in all of that stuff, you're only feeding on what's been produced. You're only like, you're consuming stuff that's just constantly trying to push you down certain angles and all this kind of stuff. And so to pull all that away and speak into areas where it's like, hey, this is reality where you actually have your life. And so consider your life, you know, like think about the direction your life is going and what's going to happen in your life. If you just keep going, not even like eternity on the line, but just in your reality, like in the next year, 2 years, you know? And so like able to speak into those areas of life is an incredible thing. What was the original question?
Well, I was going to say, do you get the sense that there's a hunger for that?
Yeah.
I mean,
I
kind of go down this line of the online experience.
Yes. So with that, again, people are tired of it.
Yeah.
They don't know that they are.
Right.
But then whenever you spend, because like, who's really going to be like, oh, let me just set aside my phone for a week, you know, or five days. Like people aren't actually going to do that, you know? But at camp, it's like, hey, we're taking your phone away. Mm. And everyone afterwards is like, I don't even want my phone. Mm. You know, I don't even want to be back on it. I actually want to spend more time in the Word. I want to live my life differently. You know, I want to be around my family more. I want to reconcile with this person. Like,
wow.
People genuinely want that stuff, but like the distractions of the world are so common, and it's so like, this is just how life works that you couldn't even think of not being around like distractions, not constantly having your eyes like peeled away, like away from what reality is, you know?
Right.
And so we definitely did see a lot of people afterwards. We do like a survey. Hey, what stood out to you? Mm-hmm. How do you want to live differently after camp? And so many people are like, I want to spend time in the Word. I want to spend time with God. I want to continually like keep this going of seeking Him, because I'm seeing what happens when I seek Him. He speaks to me and I'm moved and I want that more. I don't want just numbing and coping and like trying to distract myself from pain, but I want someone who can speak into that, you know? And so seeing multiple people, like over half the people for the surveys afterwards said, I want to spend more time intentionally with God, you know? And like reading my Bible. Cause that's what, again, in the mornings we would do a quiet time and people were like, this is incredible. Like I'm actually learning the Bible, you know? And it sounds ridiculous because it's like, that's so easy. You can do that all the time. It's like, yes, you can. But whenever someone says, here's what this looks like, I really do think that's a big problem is students don't know what a lot of reality looks like, because the millennials before them and people before them model a life that is not really reality, you know? And it's scrolling and it's online everything and it's YouTube and hey, we're at home, turn the TV, keep the TV on. Everything's electronic.
Right.
Nothing is go outside. Nothing is, you know, just like experience real human interaction and all this kind of stuff that I don't think there's not even a context for what that could look like, you know? And so
So you made this. You made a statement at camp where you were talking to the students, and you're saying, "You come here to this, and you're having this great experience. You're meeting with God. And He's speaking to you, and you may think to yourself, you may even say to yourself, wow, this is so not reality. It's like we're not even in reality here anymore.' And you told them something. Yeah. Tell them what you said to them about that.
I said, for the people who say camp is not reality, I would argue that the life you live is not actually reality. It's virtual reality is one thing you're, and it's so not what has been for thousands of years reality, you know? Yeah. Again, like you have just so many distractions. I mean, I keep on saying this, but it's so real.
You're talking about a culture that's now, they've grown up accustomed to the phone.
Yeah, that has, not even like, it's not even just like, oh, this is a normal, it's like you can't operate without it.
Correct.
You know?
It's a necessity for their life. Yeah. And they have access to virtually anything in the world that they would want.
Any
Add
questions?
Into that some AI, ChatGPT.
Yeah.
It's meant to help us think, but often what it does is it replaces thinking in our lives.
Yes.
And it certainly removes the human component. So I mean, I can get it that they show up at a week-long camp experience. All of a sudden, here's flesh and blood reality. Here's God speaking to me in ways I've not heard before. I'm just used to taking it through my eye gate.
Yeah.
I'm not used to taking things in through my spirit.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, God's moving and speaking. And
I think another fun thing is like, you see people all the time walk around with like AirPods always, you know, some people are always listening to music like constantly. There's some people like end of the year, they post their Spotify Wrapped and they're like, I listen to a bazillion hours of music. It's like, what is that? You know, it's just constant. And so to like even say, hey, no phone, no AirPods, no music. No. And so it's like you walk around outside and you're like, are these birds that I hear? You know, like, is it crickets outside? I didn't even know that was a thing anymore.
Yeah.
Like, wow. Yeah. You know, like that. That's real. And it doesn't require, it's not even like, so we're going to send people out into the outback, you know, like, you know, you have to get away from absolutely, it's like, we're going an hour away from Ovilla, you know? And so
was there something specific that you'd say, here's what I saw God doing? This is a common theme, what God was doing in young people's lives.
And I would say one is that like people want truth so bad. Mm-hmm. Like they want to hear, they want someone to tell them, this is the direction to go with your life. Wow. And say it from a place of confidence, from a place of authority and leadership, and a place that says like, this is good. It's going to be hard, but it's good. I think so much of life is like, where's ease? But it never satisfies.
Yeah.
And so people like are stuck chasing ease and comfort all the time, but then they're like, this actually sucks, you know? Yeah. But to say, hey, this is going to be hard, but it's actually better for your life. Yeah. I think that's when people are like, whoa.
Yeah.
I need
especially
that.
When it is coming from you and it comes from a heart of compassion, understanding as well. Because I know it's not coming from a heavy-handed, you better do this or you're going to burn kind of deal.
No.
It's not condescending. It's not legalistic. It's this measure of confidence and truth with grace mixed in.
I mean, one of the nights, just again, laying hard truth. I went and talked with one of the leaders beforehand. I was like, man, I'm battling in my mind of like what of these words I'm going to say in the sermon tonight, because I know it's going to be hard truth for people to comprehend. And I don't want to say it in a way that people are going to tune it out or people are going to get defensive and like just resist, you know?
Right.
And so he was saying like, you just got to stand confident and deliver the message, you know? And so that evening I stand up and I'm talking about having a defense against the enemy, against Satan, against attacks, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I'm saying, like specifically speaking, against self-harm. Mm-hmm. I know that's something that people deal with, you know, self-harm, and people think cutting themselves, you think suicide watch, you think like physical self-harm, but taking it even to the realm of like eating disorders and self-hatred and self-condemnation and like shame and guilt and the continual things like that. I think speaking to truths of that matter and saying like, hey, in you telling yourself how bad and dumb and terrible and all these identities you've given yourself, in saying that that is attacking the very thing God's created, that's not the voice of the Father.
Right.
And saying those things, it's like people are like, I've known that, but I have not lived in that way.
Yep.
And I need to hear those truths that are like very raw and personal and intimate to my life. And this actually impacts the way that I live. Like, we're not up there just being like, God just wants you to be comfortable and live a life of, like, no, we're saying your life can change. It's going to require work. Yep. You know, again, the people who say, oh, camp's not reality. I don't have my phone and I'm not always around believers mm-hmm. like this. And you know, I'm not always under the word. I'd say it can be reality.
You can,
you can have friends that are actually godly.
Right.
You can be around older people who are actually going to encourage you. You can listen and read the word continually. Like, you can be constantly seeking the Lord. Like, that can be reality.
Yeah.
That will produce change in your life.
Yeah.
It requires work. At camp, there's a measure of we're putting everything right there for you to just grab onto, mm-hmm. and that still is work that's required to mm-hmm. actually accept and receive the things we're putting forth for the students to do. And it will be harder when they go home, but that was our encouragement. It's like, your life can change.
And you didn't get eye roll from the students.
Everyone was like, oh my word, I actually can change.
Wow.
Like, I don't have to go, because that was one of the fascinating things is, some of the discussion group leaders were saying, I actually heard from our students. They're like, I'm scared to go back home because I don't want to sin. I don't want to fall back into where I was.
Wow.
And so instead of being like, I better hope that camp high lasts, pal. You know, it's like, no, that's not what life is about.
Exactly.
But your life can change. It will require saying no.
Yeah.
And I think in saying that, people are like, wow, I didn't even think of that as an option. You know, because that's what we're, again, one of the parts of this week that we spent was like, your life can change. It requires saying no, but it requires saying no under the authority of Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, not just in all your own self-determination of like, I can say no to drugs and I can say no to pornography and I can say no to self-harm. It's like in all the things you have going in you, you can't. Under the authority of Jesus, you can.
Wow.
As a person born again, and you can say, my identity is a child of God.
Yep.
I can say no to these things because that's not who I am.
Yes.
I think people just, it's like opened up a whole fresh sense of there's real life to be lived. Wow. And there's not just death to go back to at home, but there's life to stand in.
Well, and that's obviously God working that moment.
Yes.
You present truth.
Yes.
But for someone to get that, only the Father can open a person's heart to see that.
Exactly.
So I love that.
Exactly.
So this is all powerfully encouraging news for adults in the church today.
Yes.
You know, we've come out of a time, maybe still coming out of a time, when older adults in the church look at what's happening in the land and have thought, that's it. This country is going to hell. And young people today, they're just on their phones all the time.
Yeah.
And man, these college campuses are they're the indoctrination centers of the day. Yeah. They're the place, you know, and you just kind of get into this.
Yeah.
And so to hear something like this is like, okay, wait a minute. This is the place that we least expected it to come from, but apparently is a place that it's happening in.
Yes,
so what do you say to older Christian adults today who have kind of, like you mentioned, black-pilled on the whole future of Gen Z and millennials? Yeah.
Well, I would say specifically from hearing from our camp leaders, I would like to ask them, hey, does this encourage you or what to see students who are expressing themselves, like expressing praise to God in worship? You know, everyone is like, this fires me up so much about the future, about more leaders in our church, about the faith being passed down, seeing reconciliation happen, seeing obedience happen into the next generation. So I would say if you're not seeing that, like, start asking people, hey, are you seeing God move in other areas? Are you seeing God move in the younger generation? And be encouraged by stories, because it's happening. It really is happening. It's happening here at this church. And so that's what I would say. Like, start asking questions of, hey, what is God doing, you know, in younger people? And you're going to hear stories. You're going to hear stories of what's going on.
Yeah.
And to take heart that, again, by the stats of it, but also in your area, like, begin asking young people, hey, who is God? Like, do you believe? Yeah. Like, you don't have to come out attacking, punching, and like, you better believe. In the asking of questions, that's the best form to see what someone actually believes.
Yeah.
People are way more willing to open up to you than I think anyone gives them credit, especially this next generation, people who are hungry for truth, honesty, real, raw. You can step up and ask a teen, hey, what do you think about God? It might take them a second. But if you ask that question in genuine faith, I'm telling you, they are going to open up to you and you're going to be shocked at what they say.
Yeah, I mean, it should be powerfully encouraging. It's the thing that older Christians have been praying for.
Yeah.
And here is God answering that. It's happening. So yeah, it ought to be a moment of celebration, you know, thanking God in continued prayer. So what do you say to the parents of these young people who have, they've gone away to camps? We'll put it in that context first.
Okay. Yeah.
These students have come home, and I've heard many of the parents say just 2 days in, they're saying, I have new young people living in my house. You know, not that some strangers came living in, but different. It's their children, but they're different if they came back from camp. So what do you say to these parents to help them in what God is doing in this generation?
I mean, first thing I think is like encourage, fan the flame and say, that's incredible, all that God's doing in your life. And how can I help you grow? And what, you know, I think vulnerability, honestly, that's one thing that I tell the leaders at camp and the discussion groups is like authenticity breeds authenticity.
Mm-hmm.
You can't expect a teen in your group to open up to you if you're going to be there the whole time like, yeah, I don't have any problems. What are all of y'all's problems? You know, like
I remember when I used to have problems like
it's not
done.
Don't expect a lot of vulnerability. So the same thing for parents is like,
right.
If you're seeing God work in your kid, encourage it, ask questions, and don't, I would say like, don't be the person that's like, well, if they would ask me, I'd tell them everything. I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. But that,
so be intentional.
Yeah,
with your genuine, authentic desire.
I would say open up first.
There
if you
go.
Want them to open up, open up first.
That's
if
good.
You are so willing to open up about your life, do it.
Yeah, it's good. So, what do you say to the parent or parents who say, "Man, I want that for my kids, but that's not happening right now.
Yeah.
They are doing their own thing, running from church, running from God." What do you say to them?
Well, it's kind of different because in some areas you might have a closer relationship where you can say, you can speak into their life more. Some you don't.
Right.
One thing I would say is like, you've got to get them into church.
Yeah.
Honestly, that's the thing I would say is I get the, if I push them to go to church, then they're going to resist more. So I'd rather them stay at home because, you know, I can grow the relationship. I get it. And don't lose their heart in the matter.
Right.
But I go to what's going to benefit someone more.
Mm.
Sitting at home scrolling in their own room.
Mm.
Or at least being in the context where they're going to, like, again, at our youth group, they're going to have worship.
Yep.
There's going to be a time of worship. There's going to be games, and the games meaning to get people around other people, interact with other flesh and blood. There's going to be a sermon where the word is proclaimed, and there's going to be a discussion group to ask what's going on in your life. You've got to get them into an environment that's like that.
Yeah.
If they're not in an environment like that, you can't expect change to happen.
No.
If they're going to stay, like, even if you're going to say if I push them to youth, then they're going to resist against me. Well, then on Wednesday nights, you connect with them, ask them questions that are spiritual questions. don't say, I won't take them to youth, but I'll let them go scroll in their room or play video games all night long.
Right.
Don't expect change.
No, you won't. And it'd be great if you could just say, go to any church. It would be awesome.
Yeah.
Specifically, go to a church where God is at work.
Yes.
If you want to see something happen in you or your young people, then go to where He's already working.
Yes.
So find that place.
Yes.
All right. So final question today is, so what do you say if you had the opportunity to stand before another group of young people, and it's larger, and this is the generation of, again, AI, YouTube, scrolling, information all the time at their fingertips, ChatGPT, cultural strife, gender confusion, social anxieties, medications, all kind of stuff happening today, social ills, governmental uncertainty, political uncertainty. What you have an opportunity to stand before young people. What do you say?
Well, one thing is like all that stuff, all of the I think of it like the book of Ecclesiastes, you know, like all of the chasing, pursuing, the accomplishing, the knowledge, the wisdom, the successes, the lows, all the stuff. It's like, it's literally all vain. Wow. Even like, again, Solomon who wrote Ecclesiastes, he's like, I've literally done it all, accomplished it all the money, all the girls, all the fame, all the stuff.
Yeah.
It's a wash.
Wow.
The only thing worth doing is obeying the commandments of God.
Wow.
And loving him.
Yeah.
Wow. That's the only thing that is going to give your life value. You'll find purpose in, meaning in. That's, you can try all the new and trendy things, or you can go the ancient way, the way people have literally operated forever.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to find health in that. Mm-hmm. You will find temporary relief, cope, pleasure, and all the here and now stuff, the scrolling, the medications, the you name it, the AI knowledge and money you can get from all that stuff. That's cool and all. But for what?
Yeah.
You know? So I would say, like, go ancient. Go backwards instead of going forwards, you know? Go historical. See what has stood the test of time. It's like Christianity has consistently always been the thing that has been there and humans have flourished in. Nothing else.
Yeah. We were made for knowing God, having peace with God. We were actually created for that.
Yeah.
Sin has destroyed that. Jesus Christ has come to restore that. Yeah. And we're seeing that young people today.
Yeah. So it's so good.
What a fascinating time to see a generation that's finally said, we're done with all this stuff. We want what's real, and we're turning to Jesus, and it's happening. So we're fanning that flame as the Spirit is moving and praying for more of that to happen. So,
so good.
Well, I appreciate all of the response today, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad working with young people, and they are seeing the reality of Christ in their life.
Absolutely.
So thanks for joining us today. Come check out what God's doing at Vertical. We'd love to have you here as we lift him up and live him out.